Our scripture reading for today comes from Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 20. Won't you hear these words? For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, I am thankful today that you are among us and with us, and that your Spirit speaks to us as we gather for this kind of experience together in worship. As we hear your word now read to us, begin to work in our lives that we might perceive what it is that you're saying. So we come together for the advance of our mission, for the nurture of our own lives, and for what we can find that will illuminate and inspire our inner being. In the name of Jesus, amen. Elizabeth and I were at a concert some years ago. The music began to swell as a man with a deep and rich baritone voice prepared to sing Frankie Lane's hit from the early 1950s, I Believe. The writing of that song was prompted by a desire to create hope against the dismay of the coming of the Korean War so soon after World War II. So the singer launched beautifully into the first line, "I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows." And then he paused parenthetically and said, "I don't really believe that, but the rest of the song is okay." He went on, "I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe." I thought to myself, well, of course, we all know the song is not meant to be literally true. It is meant to capture our imagination, fill us with hope, not to postulate some one-to-one numerical equivalency of flowers compared to numbers of fallen raindrops around the globe. That song has been covered by many popular artists over the years and has become something of a religious ballad. It is poetic and imaginative, of course, and soars in the superlative mode. Every drop, darkest night, everyone. Like the Psalms of our scriptures, the lyrics imagine hope as abundant as the trillions upon trillions of raindrops that fall all around this world, all the grief, the darkness, and all the loss imaginable. The song also lifts up prayer and faith together with the mystery of God in these words, "I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word." Our scripture from Ephesians today is a prayer that ends in a doxology of praise. It is filled with language that calls for and inspires our imagination. As the writer prays, we are invited to wrap our minds around the great and cosmic expanse of all that is, the breadth and length, the height and depth of God's largeness and longevity, the everywhere-ness of God. The prayer is that we might shift into imagination mode so that we can know God's love in Christ that surpasses knowledge, to know the unknowable. The brilliant genius and physicist Albert Einstein told an interviewer in 1929, quote, "I am enough of an artist to draw freely upon my imagination. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited," he said. "Imagination encircles the world." The writer of the prayer in Ephesians yearns that we be strengthened in our inner being by the Spirit of God. We do need our imagination strengthened so that we can experience God's knowledge surpassing love and can be caught up in hope that overcomes trouble and malaise and despair. A few weeks ago, I preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but did not focus much on this statement where the Apostle Paul declares, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the human heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love God. These things," he goes on, "God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." For us to imagine what God has prepared for those who love God, what Ephesians also refers to as the immeasurable riches of God's grace and the boundless riches of Christ and God's ability, quote, "to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine," we need our imagination to be supercharged by the Spirit. Imagination that correlates with faith requires the creative, illuminative, and connective networking ability of the Spirit. Brain research indicates that when our imagination is at work, it involves at least 12 areas of the brain. Researchers likened the activity to a workspace in which multiple persons and processes are engaged in collaboration to arrive at fresh ideas and understanding. We need to invite the Spirit into our workspace, into our inner being, to enrich and energize and bolster our imagination. Imagine those 12 areas of your brain engaged in imagination as a bunch of smart and creative people in a large workroom engaged in brainstorming and idea mapping so they can solve a problem or create innovation or both. Someone is at the whiteboard or the smart board jotting down all the pop-up notions. One person recalls something that she has read, and another tells a story that he has experienced, and someone else whistles a tune to a song that seems to fit in some way. Another pipes up with a few lines from a poem that illuminates an idea, and still another excitedly tells how this painting that she saw illustrates the problem that they are confronting. And in addition to what each person contributes, there is an energy in the room that builds as one idea feeds another. And by conversation and interactivity, wisdom begins to accumulate and emerge. Imagine also that in the room is a facilitator or a coach with years of experience and great expertise and wisdom for the topic at hand. The coach asks great questions and points out connections so that insights begin to flow until there is an aha moment. That energy and that coach in the room is like the Holy Spirit at work in the imagination workspace of our hearts and brains, in and among our thinking and feeling and desiring and creativity, and at work to connect and to create synergy that kindles our imagination. Faith that leads to hope requires imagination, because imagination helps us to see what cannot be seen. One of the definitions of faith. In a 2019 article in the Christian Century, the editors wrote, "Imagination allows us to think of what is not, to build new mental universes, to apprehend barely conceivable truths, to think ourselves into other people's places and circumstances." That is, our imagination, animated by the Spirit of God, can imagine new beauty replacing grief like spring replaces winter. We can trust that God's wisdom will show us and others the way when we have lost our way. We can see the light of hope when in the darkest night of the soul we cannot see. I mentioned some months ago that biblical theologian Walter Brueggemann says that hope in the Scriptures is, quote, "a tenacious act of imagination." That is so very true. When we feel lost or unsure about what to do with our business, our family, some relationship, or when we are grieving disappointments, losses, and defeat, it takes tenacity to imagine life beyond the struggles. We are called to hold on with strength and persistence, to refuse to let go of promise and hope. When we face difficult and threatening dilemmas, choices about health, relationships, or family decisions, we are urged to imagine hope tenaciously. Coming out of the pandemic with residual fatigue and reticence, and with this mixture of caution and freedom, of resentment and hallelujah relief, we are invited to imagine with faith that all will be well, even though all has not been well. Even though there are hot spots of the virus, like now in Brazil and Colombia and Chile and India, and new variants of the virus, and talk of new viruses coming ever so many years or so in the future. Sometimes we may just get tired and feel like just letting go. So how? How can we muster the tenacity? How can we muster the tenacity for imagination that leads to hope? Well, we can invite the Spirit of the abundantly capable God back into the workspace of our imagination. You see, in some ways, our holding on, our tenacity, is our letting go and allowing the Spirit to work. Actually, our holding on is both holding on and making space for God's Spirit to take hold with us, to add the strength and the wisdom we need to power our imagination. And how can we do that? How can we invite the Spirit into our imagination? There are many practices and exercises or ways that can help us engage the work of the Spirit to strengthen and to light up our imagination so that we can choose and embrace and feel hope. So let me share a few with you. First, we can imagine ourselves into the Scriptures. Walk into the great stories of Scripture like you are walking onto a movie set as one of the actors. Read through the Gospels and find a story that has some Velcro for you, that catches your attention and invites you in. If you read long enough, that will happen. So now, imagine the temperature, the sounds, the smells, the conversation, the inflection of voices, every imaginable detail. Imagine the setting, this outside or inside. The scenes, the nature scene, the trees or the birds or whatever it is as part of that. Imagine yourself as a friend of the man at the pool of Bethesda, for example, who has been sick for 38 years. The man in John 5 who with other sick people has been trying to be the first one into the water when it suddenly moved, believing that when an angel troubled the water, it would heal. So it's a hot day, and you sit on the stone wall of the pool and dip in and put some water on your forehead. You imagine the man who's been there so long telling you that it's hopeless. It's just hopeless after so long. And of course, there's no medicine and no help available in that ancient setting. And then you hear a commotion and you look up to hear Jesus asking your friend, would you like to be healed? You think in your head, well, of course, but what are the chances? You listen as your friend answers in his melancholy tone, well, I have no one here at the right time, and someone else always beats me into the water every time. And then in the moment when Jesus tells him, get up, pick up your bed, and walk, what do you feel? Perhaps it's a mixture of skepticism and hope in that moment between the question and the action. What do you feel and think and wonder as you then watch this guy you know with his severely withered leg muscles pick up his bed, stand up, and walk? Now he moves out of the scene and Jesus moves away, and you sit back down on the side of that pool on the stones and you pray. Imagine yourself there praying, praying as listening. Ponder what you hear, what comes to you. Then read the scripture again in several versions, easily available online, of course. Ask yourself if any thoughts rise upon your heart. That is your imagination. It may be the voice of the Spirit. Then share your experience with someone else. Post it on social media so that you can get some interaction. Talk it over with a trusted group, maybe someone in a Sunday school class. Continue to listen for affirmations of hope. And you know there are many such story options just in the Gospels alone. Imagine yourself into them as a way of letting the Spirit infuse your imagination. Another way to actively invite the Spirit to strengthen our imagination during dark times so that the light of hope can return is to pray the Scriptures, pray the Psalms, or look up all the prayers in the New Testament writings, like the prayers of the Apostle Paul written in his letters to the churches, or make it a practice to read through Isaiah 40 to 55 weekly, again and again over some time, maybe in different translations, and do that as prayer. Prayer is, to some degree, our active imagining. We imagine what we need and what we want and desire, whether for ourselves or for someone else or for the world. We imagine an outcome and we begin to ask and yearn and hope for it. When we pray the Scriptures, we open the door to the Spirit to inhabit our praying in a fresh way that expands beyond our private wishes and our personal needs, and yet includes those. Another way is worship. Worship and the music and shared experience of worship is another avenue for the Spirit to infiltrate our imagination. Music or worship tends to arrest our minds and open our hearts. It can brighten our imagination. So it is good to bring our weariness and our sorrows into the experience of connection with others who are also worshiping God. to join our voices and feel the energy, to listen with our hearts and minds, to imagine as we sing. Engaging God in nature is another means of letting God correct our imagination and give us hope. I say correct our imagination because on the dark side, imagination, of course, is also the instrument of anxiety, worry, and fear. What if this goes wrong? What if I fail? What if something bad happens? We imagine. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus famously asks, "Why do you worry? And does worrying add any years to your life?" Of course, and on the contrary, we know that anxiety can shorten life and jeopardize health. And so Jesus says, "Pay attention to the flowers in the field and the birds in flight." Getting into nature, walking among the trees that are alive with birdsong and with leaves dancing in the wind and the sunlight, is good remedy to turn worry into hope. It's a good way to invite the Spirit to correct and inform and enrich our imagination. Gazing long upon a sunset or listening to the waves on a beach can be a time then to ask and listen in prayer. Beauty opens and activates space in our imagination for the Spirit of God to be at work. God is always active, always near, always whispering. And if we believe that and trust that to be true, then in and by these means and others, we can be tenacious in imagining that the God of abundant grace will reveal to us, quote, what God has prepared for those who love God. It is revealed in Jesus, of course, that we are forever and deeply loved and claimed by God. God has prepared that for us. And God in Christ actively calls and empowers us to even more, something better, bigger, deeper, and beyond what we can imagine on our own. It may not be ice cream and cake or steak and lobster or some feel-good stuff. It may be the supremely rewarding act of service and mercy. It may be the candle. It may be being the candle for someone in their darkest night, or to be the one who shows the way for someone who has in some way gone astray. The promise is that God prepares unimaginable goodness and grace even among the challenges and troubles and grief of our life, and does that for those who love God as faithful followers and all who come towards the grace of God. And then God invites us to collaborate by joining our imagination with God's Spirit and then cooperating with God to create our future and a future for others. In an article titled "The Bible and Christian Imagination," biblical scholar N.T. Wright tells this parable. Imagine that some people in an old house in Vienna, Austria, are grubbing around in an attic, and they come upon a musical score, a piece of music, a manuscript written by hand, and they look at it, and they wonder what it is. And it turns out it's a piece for the piano, and somebody takes it to a piano and begins to play and says, "This is strange. This is great music, but what is it?" They phone the museum or the culture center somewhere, and somebody comes and says, "Actually, this handwriting, this is Mozart's handwriting. But it's very strange because we don't have this piece of music. We've never seen it before. What is it?" Then they get a professional pianist who plays it, and it makes a lot of sense, but it's incomplete. There are places where there are gaps, where the piano stops, and there's a few bars of rest. It's awesomely beautiful, but it's pointing to a larger whole. And they realize that what they've got is the piano part of a string quintet, but without the violins, the viola and cello parts. In our lives, you know, we suffer loss. We're moving along and suddenly we have some experience of the absence or the loss of someone or something or some dream or something we thought would always be there. Hope can be dashed, light extinguished. Someone walks out of our life. Business drops off and money dries up. Some illness or health crisis leaves us or someone we love hurt or diminished or threatened. But even then, the Spirit of God is at work in us, and we can pray and imagine how to fill the gap, how to create the music in the silence. God is longer and wider, deeper and higher than all the canyons and walls. God will make a way, will empower us to discern a pathway of hope. The Spirit of God can give us new dreams and help us imagine a holy and helpful workaround and then a new path. God will faithfully strengthen and inspire our imagination with the Spirit so that we can embrace hope and live with confidence. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the way you pour your Spirit into our lives, our hearts, our minds, our thinking, and our imagination. Inspire us, we pray. Catch hold of our hearts and give us hope when there is no hope. Correct our negative imaginations of worries and fears, and fill us with confidence in your ability to do abundantly far more than we can even imagine. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen.